Hello and a warm welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on Saturday's defeat at Falkirk, preview this weekend's game with Queen of the South, and we'll be picking our best Blue Team five-a-side team. So, three new faces added into the Peterhead squad this week since we were recording. But I'm in familiar company. Joining me, Colin Byers, is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome back. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks, Colin. Yourself?
Not too bad. Did you survive the heat wave, heat wave 2.0?
Aye, well, in comparison today, it's cloudy, foggy, and a little bit of drizzle in the blue tune as well. We get our seasons up here in the northeast, but aye, it was fine, unexpected, a little bit of a heat wave, but we're back to normal head conditions now, I would say.
It's I don't think we're going to need a water break 20 minutes in, let's put it that way. So we'll just get crack on with the game on Saturday then. Falkirk away, a game I think we were anticipating that we felt that we might get a reaction from Falkirk after their heavy defeat last weekend. That's exactly what we got. It was 3-1 the end, fairly one-sided. I think both managers were in agreement with that. John McGlynn certainly thought it was the most one-sided game he's ever seen. I'm not sure if that's an exaggeration or if that's right, but as I said, in the end, 3-1, it finished. It could have been a lot more.
Yeah, I certainly think Falkirk had a point to prove after the week shown there the last week. They came out all guns blazing, to be fair. We really struggled in the first, especially I think the first 20 minutes. We struggled to get a foothold in the game, struggled to keep hold of the ball. But I didn't think the chances it created were that good, if that made sense. They created quite a few chances through the game, but I thought it was more the second half that our dangerous attacks came from. We got numbers back, we defended pretty resolute, I would say. Not just in the first 20 minutes, but the first half particularly. And we tried to get them on the break, but I thought Falkirk with a really good performance, looked good going forward. And I think first 20 minutes were lucky still to be 0-0, to be honest.
Yeah, defending well. I think a lot of throwing bodies at things and last-ditch tackles, which is good to see, which you want to see from your team.
Yeah, absolutely. The lads put their bodies in the line. I think we're starting to see that there's a bit of togetherness now coming along in the squad. Players are now starting to get used to each other, how they're playing. They've also been training for a few weeks now. As the numbers increase within the squad, I think they're starting to gel a wee bit as well. So they're playing for each other. I think Ryan Strachan, I think a couple of his challenges on Saturday as well. Some blocks, putting his body on the line. We spoke last week about his experience coming into the squad and doing well. So, yeah, a lot of things like that. We maybe quite didn't get, you know, the luck in front of a goal going forward as often as we'd like. But I certainly think we rode our luck a wee bit on Saturday. It could have been a heavier scoreline. And I think overall, as you said, the managers would have probably been, you know, they called it as a scene. It was a one-sided game. I think we're probably happy to get up with just conceding the three.
So there was two changes to the side. Andy McDonald and Ewan Murray came in for his first start. Andy McDonald after his suspension. David Wilson and Danny Strachan dropped out. Either of those, I guess, would probably feel unlucky to be left out of the side.
Yeah, but I think the fact that Jim's now got quite a few players who can play in defensive roles, I don't think you're going to see as settled the back line as we've seen in previous years. I think maybe the back line's probably one of the, especially the last 2 years, I think it's been one of the easier defensive lineups to pick. You can almost write it before the teams come out. But I think this year maybe slightly different. I think Jim's going to maybe change formation as well a few times. We spoke whether it's going to be the back three, back five, or he might change to a back four. So I'm not surprised to see them drop out.
Yeah, it was interesting. He went to a back four on Saturday. It was the 4-1-4-1, which is a formation he's used a few times over the last two or three seasons. It seemed to have a little bit more kind of balance to it, but I think that offers too much of a defensive kind of side. You're almost shutting the shop up already. Whereas the back three or back five, you've got that license for the wing backs to push forward. And I think too often Adeyemo was left up front on his own. He was nowhere near him. The link up wasn't possible with that kind of formation, and the fact that Falkirk were pushing their fullbacks so high as well were forcing our wingers back a little bit.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the plus point with the going with the back four that Jim did on Saturday, I think you mentioned balance, but I think everybody expected a reaction from Falkirk, and I think that was maybe just playing in the back of his mind. I think if you were to go man for man, I think the vast majority of people would say that Falkirk on paper had the better team. So Jim's maybe just trying to get that bit of balance, a wee bit more, you know, solidity by getting a defensive midfielder in there as well, going with a back four. And players that he knows well, he can trust, he's putting them in. And I can see why he went with the back four. It was always going to be a difficult game once Falkirk coming on the back of their four goals that they shipped. And I think Jim was just a wee bit cautious, and I've got to say, probably rightly so on this occasion.
Was it perhaps as well that he's thinking that because of the middle of the park, we had so little experience in terms of, you know, with Scullion in there, Murray was in there, and Jack Brown was the middle three, if you like. Jack was obviously in that number six position, but was he maybe just trying to cover the bases slightly and try and give them as much help as possible?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. I think also the players that we've got, I think he is trying to go with a team. He's got to protect them as well. He's got him, there is quite a few young lads, especially in the midfield area. He doesn't want them overrun. You know, I think he's got to try and give them that balance. I think the 4-1-4-1, it didn't help Ola up front, but I think overall, I think the balance was right. It just, we came up against Falkirk, they really wanted to find a good showing and a good performance.
Yeah, and the fact that Adeyemo wasn't getting too much of the ball, and if he was, as I said, there was nobody within sort of 10 yards of him, and he was having to come deeper and deeper, and so if he did get the ball clear, there was nobody really there to take it in.
The only difference I've seen with Ola, especially from where we were, I would say for the Aberdeen game on Dumbarton, is if he wasn't involved in the game previously, it almost looked like he wasn't that interested. And whether that convenient match fitness, got to bear in mind, from we played Aberdeen, it was quite a hot day as well, first game of the season for him. But now he seems to, he's trying to come deeper to get the ball, he's trying to get the link-up play. So maybe just starting to see the good of him coming through as well. Not ideal for him if he's playing up front on his own. He's having to come deep to get the ball. But I certainly think new with his match sharpness coming along as well. I think the confidence of his goal last week, he was coming deeper to try and make things happen. Just unfortunate on the day, it didn't work out for him.
It's up to the opening goal, really. You were looking at the way the game was going. I think at one point, Falkirk had like 65% possession, 7 shots, 5 on target, I think it was. We hadn't had any. And it was looking like that we were maybe perhaps just going to be able to hang on until half time at 0-0, which would have been a bonus for us. But instead, we, in typical, I guess, Peter Hay kind of fashion, we go one up.
Yeah, unlikely scorer as well. It's not often you'd put your right back to score a goal. But what I did notice, the goal was with 3, I think maybe even 4 players running in as well. So whilst there's that defensive solidity with the formation he's picked, he's also got runners and he's got players like Ola dropped deep as well in the move to allow, you know, the players to run on. So I think overall it's a good team goal and came at the ideal time as well, right before half time, and a good finish by Max as well. I think, you know, many players are getting that position, either aim it right at the keeper or get a nosebleed and put it over the bar, but he did well, kept it on target, and you know, he's got it in the back of the net.
Yeah, you're right. I think it was the first time we'd gotten 4 in the attack. As I said previously, we wasn't getting many bodies forward, but I think it was the one and only time. And the fact that, yeah, as you said, he had a really good finish with it. It was a good striker's finish, I guess you could call it, and tucked it away. And then suddenly, you know, from a game where we seemed to be getting absolutely battered at one end, we've gone up the other end, and in turn frustrated the Falkirk supporters, because they know that they haven't really started particularly well this season again.
Yeah, no, as I touched on just earlier, I think the back of their 4-0 defeat the previous week, the fact that they dominated us for the best part of 43 minutes and then we've gone up the pitch and scored, you can imagine the Falkirk faithful weren't happy. and just touching on what you said there about boys going in the box, I don't think we've seen it much at all this season, even in the cup games. You know, runners on going in behind the striker, or wing backs, full backs, whatever you want to call them, running on behind as well. So it was good to see that not only have we got players looking to make the cross, you've got a striker in there, you've also got full backs pushing on. That's why Max also got his goal. So I was delighted for Max. I think it was a good finish, and he certainly started off his Peterhead career really well.
Up to before that, I think Callum Morrison was the biggest threat Falkirk had. I mean, him and Newman, it would seem, was having their own sort of personal battle.
Newman, is that the boy number 7?
Yeah, he was. Newman was winning it quite a lot. They hit the post, they've hit the bar, all up and before we've scored. So, you know, we talk about luck last week, but we're certainly riding with luck. But that threat was always going to be there, and I think to survive for 90 minutes and not conceding in a game like that, you would have been really, really fortunate.
The number 7 caused us problems the whole game, from start to finish. His movement, whether it's on his right foot, his left foot, he's willing to take players on, he was just a pest for us the whole game. As you said, I think to go through 90 minutes with Nate conceding, I think we'd have been really, really fortunate. And unfortunately, that wasn't the case. We didn't manage to survive. But I think there is signs, especially Jack, that we've got a good goalkeeper. I'd be delighted if we can get him beyond January. Whether that can happen or not, I don't know. But he made a lot of good saves during the game. That number 7 certainly causes a few problems.
The way things are going at Dundee United, they might be glad to get him back in January, because goalkeeper has been setting the header alight under the new boss. So there might be a different manager by the time he gets back here in January. You never know. But the goal that Falkirk got to equalise, Williamson, it was who scored it. It's a wonderful solo run. You know, we can praise how good a goal it was. Again, from a Peterhead point of view, it's poor, I guess, defending, because he's run so far. I think prior to that, he had made a similar run where he got to the edge of the box, and rather than taking a shot on, he's actually passed it. But this time, he's gone and taken a shot on. So there was a warning prior to that run before he scored.
Yeah, it was 5-10 minutes beforehand. He did almost exactly the same, but as you said, he passed it this time. He fancied having a shot, and he picked a good finish, to be fair. Just, if you're being hypercritical, you'd maybe want your defender or your midfielders to close in doing that a little bit sooner than fit there was. But taking on away for the strike, you know, it's one of them that they've been peppering our goal the hell of the first half, and it's almost like a semi-long-range shot that's outdone us.
Is that a case that we're just sort of maybe sitting back too deep, just thinking, right, we're 2 minutes away from half time, let's just see the half out, we'll go in one up, and then we'll reset for the second half, and maybe that's been our undoing slightly?
Yeah, I think so. And you've said to me many times throughout the years that you're most vulnerable and you've just scored. Maybe our case in point in there. The fact that we've gone 1-0 up against a run of play, you can almost touch half time and get in the tunnel and regroup again, and we've just, you know, been unfortunate. We've conceded that again, taking that away for the strike. It's a good finish.
But you could see the relief on the Falkirk supporters, the players, even the manager, to get that goal, because they know if they've gone in 1-0, dude, it's a totally different game second half.
Oh, well, I'd have loved to have gone in at half time 1-0 up. Because it would have been so interesting, the difference in team talks. I think the fact that it went 1-1, I think both managers would be saying just, you know, continue to do the same. But if we've gone in 1-0 at half-time, I think that's a completely different team talk altogether for Falkirk. The fact that the booing would have been ringing in their ears as well. You know, I think that would have made a difference, a wee bit more hostile the atmosphere if they were coming back for the second half. So, yeah, unfortunately we went in at break 1-1, but on the same time you can probably say we're, you know, fortunate to actually be in the game at 1-1 at that point.
Just before the hour mark, Morrison finally scored past Newman. Again, another, I guess, individual run. Again, the closing doing, I think, needs to be better. We haven't closed him doing quick enough, and then once he gets into the box, I guess we're scared to make a tackle just in case that inevitable penalty comes along. But again, another good finish. But as I said, Having got ourselves into that good position, we then conceded right on half time and then just after half time again.
Yeah, that's a disappointing thing. Obviously, the closing doing, you're maybe looking for it to be a wee bit more better than what it was. I think it's unfortunate at the time as well. I think it had gone maybe another 5-10 minutes into the second half. You know, they become a wee bit nervy. Obviously, they kept it happening in the first half, the, trying to get the efforts in goal and they quite working. But yeah, as you said, I think the closing doing, that's where you're probably looking at it and thinking you could have done that a wee bit better. You know, once a player goes into the box, very inevitable that you didn't make a chance because you don't want to get away a penalty. Frustrating.
I think the heat probably played a factor as well, because it's easy to play the game with the ball, but when you're chasing shadows, if you like, you know, you use up a lot more energy. So I think that's possibly what's played into it as well, because obviously we're not used to that kind of heat any time of the year.
No, we didn't get the heat up here or in Dundee for training. So, yeah, it's a bit different. You know, part-time players as well. So we are early on in the season. I think it may have been a couple of weeks further on and you're getting that heat. Maybe a different game, but hey, you're clutching at straws. I think defensively, I thought we did okay through the hill 90 minutes. It's just that closing down, all ifs, whats and maybes. But, you know, I think if you do the basic with the defending there, I think we might have got a more favourable outcome.
Jack Newman continued to impress with save after save during the second half, and he's now up to 20 saves already in the three league games. So that's almost an average of 7 a game. And we talked about him last week or the week before in terms of what he can offer and comparisons to Brett Long, but he's certainly getting a good workout in his short spell already.
He must be running Brett Long close for the ratio of saves to shots. Can you the stats last season, the amount of saves that Brett was making in the position we were in the table. I mean, there's two ways to look at it. You're delighted that your keeper is saving them. And on the flip side, he's having to save them too often. It depends how you want to look at it. You can be an optimist and say, yeah, but he's saving them, or the pessimist and he says, you shouldn't be facing that many shots. But I'll sit in the fence and go in the middle and think, okay, we're conceding a lot of shots, but if you've got a good goalkeeper and Jack Newman behind you, then, you know, you're almost willing to allow a team to hit a shot that makes a difference tactically wise. Again, we mentioned the closing doing. If you close it doing, you don't allow a shot on target, and that's maybe the bit where we maybe could improve on.
If you're averaging 7 saves a game, you know you're facing more than that during the game, and especially when you're coming up against teams like Falkirk, especially away from home, you are going to face quite a lot of these shots. So I don't know if it's the defensive line needs to tighten up a bit, or maybe it's about defending a little bit higher up the park in terms of, like, you know, the midfield doing a bit of closing doing. But as I said, he's doing such a great job. Eventually, those shots will maybe just go by him.
Yeah, I think getting there a couple of weeks, if he's still facing that amount of shots, then you'd maybe start to look at him and be a bit more concerned. I think at the moment, the fact that it's, you know, it's 3 games in, the back line, I don't think they've all played together before. You know, you've got Jason to come back, big concussion as well, so naturally he's going to go in. You put Danny Strachan at right back, and you've got Max Gillis, then you've got Andy McDonald just come back as well. So, number of factors in that as well. I think, well, as a unit at the back, gel better, then hopefully that's having less shots of the early.
Conor O'Keefe, red card in 82 minutes. I guess it's a debatable one in terms of was it a red or was it just a yellow? It certainly was a foul. I think we're debating it was a fact it was a foul, but was it a red or would have been a yellow been sufficient?
Well, I agree, it's a foul. I think a yellow would have been sufficient. I think a red is harsh, but at the same time didn't allow the referee to make that choice. Had it gone to VAR, again, we didn't hate in Scottish lower league, had it gone to VAR, I don't think it would have been a red. So, yeah, it's one of them. Didn't I give the referee the option? he leaves his leg dangling just an extra second, whether the referee sees that as a straight leg and endangering an opponent. I'm assuming that's what he's going for violent conduct. Yeah, just didn't give the referee the option to send you off, but I think a yellow would have sufficed for him.
I think it's one of those where if it happened, if the shoe was on the other foot, it was a Falkirk player doing that to a Peter Aid player, I think you'd be definitely wanting a red card for it. That's what I'm saying. That's where the kind of debate comes from, because obviously the Falkirk fans will say, yes, it is a red. We'll say a yellow was probably justifiable. But, I mean, that old thing about, is it a yellow and a half? I mean, that's just nonsense. Either a yellow or it's a red. But I think probably it definitely was a foul. When they debating that, it's whether or not if it's a strong yellow or if it's a red.
But I looked at it and I thought to myself, is it one of them, can I see why the referee's given a red? And yes, because as I said, he just leaves his leg straight for maybe a second, half a second. If the referee sees that, you're going to get sent off all day long. But the daft thing is, it's in an area of the pitch where nothing is happening. You could understand if it was just about to go past you and you've left your leg out and you've taken one for the team. It was an absolute nothing area. It's 2-1 in the game. You know, as the game goes on, the Falkirk, you'd imagine naturally they're going to drop deeper. You can come on to them a bit more. Frustrating, but I can see why the referee gave it as a red, but that doesn't mean to say that I think it is. I think a yellow would have sufficed for it.
And then third goal, Falkirk got from a corner. We spoke about this issue last week. Free header from a corner. Nobody really picked him up. I think if you look at the replays of it, or the highlights of it, I think whoever's marking him just gets attracted to the ball and he's left on his own.
Yeah, it's so late on the game. You touched on it about 10 minutes ago, the heat as well. I mean, folk listen will think, oh, that's some excuse out there blaming the heat in Scotland. But when you deny the ball, it is such a mentally draining game. And then the lads have just switched off that corner. It's a set piece we conceded. You conceded the third. We probably could have conceded a few more, to be honest, if we're being brutal about it. 3-1, they were fine as day at the office. I think there's a lot of positives to take from it. I think there's a lot we can learn from it as a defensive unit. 3-1. I don't think you would ever really look at the fixtures and go Falkirk away is one that you'd pick up any points in. Delighted if we got something, but home games are our bread and butter, and that's for me to pick up the wins.
Yeah, and obviously the positives we scored, and it's come from a unlikely source, if you like. But the fact that we've got so many forwards, so there is that capability of now attacking, I guess, at the right times and being subtle in when we will attack these teams away from home.
Yeah, you've got to defend as a unit and attack as a unit as well. There's no point just one or two players attacking and you leave massive gaps in midfield. So I think, as the weeks go by, I think we'll see the team gel defensively but and offensively as well. We'll realise at which point, who's going to trigger the press. Is it going to be Ola? Is it going to be somebody else pressing in the node to go as a unit? Because there must have been something as a trigger point for Max to be bombing that far forward. He isn't just going up there on a whim. He's obviously realised something's happening or somebody's out of position. And I think over the next couple of weeks, that's the areas that you're looking at. But defensively, okay, we conceded three, you could have conceded more, but I think, like I said, Jason come back and your goalkeeper making good saves. You just need to try and get it done offensively and getting the right players in the ball.
So that leaves us in ninth now, 1 point from our opening three games. Only Kelty have a worse record on three losses. It's obviously the best of starts for us, but as you said, I think there's a bit more positives to come out even from a 3-1 defeat than maybe there would have been back in the start of the season in the league campaign. Now that we've got more bodies in and bodies that looks as though that are actually going to strengthen the squad a bit more.
Yeah, I think there's definitely more positives. Maybe sounds a bit strange saying that after a 3-1 defeat at Falkirk, but I think the performance was in periods of the game there was a performance there. We defended as resolute as we could. Obviously, I go back to like that long range. And can maybe try and close it doing better. But that all come in time. The players, like I said, they all came, went to press and went to close doing better. yeah, I think there's more positives this week than there has been the last couple of weeks. And, you know, Jim goes on about trying to get 9 points for the quarters of the season. Okay, we've only got one at the moment, but, you know, you've chopped off Falkirk away and one of them as well. So I think it's our doom and gloom. I think there is, you know, there is progression. You can sort of see it on the pitch. It's just a case of, can we maybe get one or two more in over the next couple of weeks and just strengthen that a wee bit?
I certainly think when Sandy McCarthy comes back, and, you know, we're maybe adding too much pressure on him straight away, because obviously he's been out for a wee while, but I think certainly once he comes back in, that's fairly plugs that little hole in the midfield where I think a game like Saturday, we were just missing him slightly.
I think the frustrating thing for Andy is almost going to like a pre-season. Was it a Dundee game that he got the injury? So I was really early on in pre-season, so he's almost going to be, what, 4 or 5 weeks maybe behind. I think he'll certainly be starting until middle of September if he's back, maybe back, what, next week, the week after on the bench. But I think he's certainly about a month away. But once, as you said, once he's back up and running, it certainly plugs that gap. And that gives you that creative and, you know, somebody going forward that frees up Jack Brown as well. So, once he's back, maybe adding a bit of pressure on him. But I think once he's back, we'll look good.
That was sort of Jim was talking about when he brought in the two loanees for Dundee, looking for competition for places. He felt that maybe there wasn't enough depth within the squad, and there probably is now. Obviously, we added those two Wolves, and we officially added, I guess, Robbie Scullion as well in the week. We spoke about him last week, potentially having another couple of games as a trialist and then making a decision. Obviously, that decision's now been made. He's now signed. He's signed for the season. And again, he I guess Patches maybe impressed again on Saturday.
Yeah, I think if he did well. You've got to bear in mind, he's not coming out of a team that's free-flowing, scoring goals and looking pretty at the top. He's coming out of a time when, you know, bodies were low and were struggling for confidence. And as I said to you a couple of weeks back, he did nothing outstanding, but again, he did nothing really wrong either. So I think he'll be a good asset. I think he'll work well in midfield and give us a different option. The only place I'd probably like to see a strengthen is up front. You know, if you get an injury to Ola, Akeem, we've got Rusty to come back. I think they're quite similar sort of strikers. I think maybe Ola's got a bit more pace, but I think they're general strikers that Jim likes, big target man. So I'd maybe like to see almost like a Naya Payne type player coming in. You know, a little player, nifty with the ball, got a bit of pace about him up front. I think if we got somebody like that in, I think the squad would be coming along, you know, pretty decent.
And Ewan Murray and Jack Wilkie were the two loanees that came in from Dundee. Jim, obviously, from that area, knows those kind of players well. Both came in, both played. Ewan obviously started the game, Jack won later on. So again, this is one of those, what he likes to call the win-win situations for everybody. You know, we're getting a couple of players that are keen to play. Dundee are getting two players out on loan to get game time. So although they're 18, 19, I think they are, they're young. That obviously wasn't an issue for the players that came in last season, you know, like Josh and Lyle Cameron for Dundee last season as well, and obviously Jack's come in for Dundee United this season as well. So age really doesn't come into it, but it's good that these guys are willing to come in.
I think these guys just need to look at what's happened with Kieran Freeman 2 years ago, Josh Mulligan last season. These guys are now playing, you know. Kieran was involved in Dundee United's first team last season. And also, you got Josh Mulligan scored a brilliant goal just the other night in Dense Park. So, I think we speak quite a bit about, you know, that pathway and progression for players. And sometimes, you know, the link up that Peter Heade have got with, which seems Dundee and Dundee United, you've got players that are willing to come up here and apply their trade in a competitive division. They can see that players like Sir Kieran Freeman, but even includes Flynn Duffy. You know, he's done well. He got a new contract at Dundee United over the summer as well. So I think they can see the pathway for them, how they can go. And it could, as Jim said, it can only benefit, you know, everybody. It benefits Dundee, it benefits us as a club, and it benefits the players as well. And if Jim can pass on his experience and knowledge to these players, it goes on for the next couple of seasons. You can get other players in because you've shown them the pathway to go.
Some info on the two players, courtesy of Dens Park Choir on Twitter. So it's at Dens Park Choir. Ewan Murray is a left back, but is capable of going forward. And I probably that's why I was a bit surprised that Jim played him in midfield. But we saw this last season with Josh. He's a midfielder, but Jim saw him as a fullback. According to the guys at the Dens Park Choir, that he's got a capability of getting going forward and scoring goals as well.
That can only be a good thing. I think we got a good balance last season, last 5 months, where Enrico Capongo came in. He liked to get forward, quite an attacking fullback. So I think if you've got Max on one side, I think we'll do okay. You know, these guys that are going forward, if they want to score goals, that's brilliant. You know, that's only going to benefit us. Gives us a good bit of balance, which, you know, if you're Jim, does that make it a bit easier to go with a back three, back five, and hey, them as fullbacks if they want to go forward? We've seen that Max can be in the box. So, it gives them that other option.
And Jack Wilkie is son of Lee Wilkie, of course. Very similar player by the sounds of it, centre-back. And although he hasn't played any first-team games yet, he's trained with the first-team quite a lot in pre-season. I think played in the pre-season game up at Balmwood as well. So, if he's anything like his old man, he should be a decent player.
Yeah. Maybe slightly surprised when the two came in that they were announced as defenders. I think we mentioned it last week or the week before. We're being quite top heavy with defenders. I'm not sure whether there's any movement, whether players might be leaving or not. I certainly think we've got quite an array of defenders in the squad. It's competition for places, and it's maybe one of them if the back line's not doing that well, then you can suddenly sit on the bench ready to take your place. So, it can have its benefits as well.
Okay, so that's that was the Falkirk game over at the weekend. Three new players in as well, so it was, as I said, a busy week. But just a slight change in things of what we normally do. We've asked you guys for a bit of interaction, try and get you guys involved as much as we can, because sometimes it feels like we are the speaking, so we'll get you guys involved as well. So this week we've asked you for your five-a-side team, your Bluetooth five-a-side team from players past and present. No restrictions. It didn't have to be set in era. It didn't have to be players that you've watched or anything like that. So there's a fair few that it come in. Martin, do you want to start us off? You got your your team ready?
I went for players that I'd actually seen play.
Okay.
So I was the avenue I went in. I came, you said there was no restrictions on it, but I went for players that I'd actually seen.
Uh-huh.
So in goals, I went for Mathers.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Brown. Graham Sharp. And Rory McAllister.
Okay. Now, there were also no restrictions on the formation, but I'm gathering you're going with Jason and then two and then one. Or have you got Sharpie as a defender as well?
They've all got a free role. So Mathers as well, if he wants to come out and be a sweeper keeper. Yeah, it's almost 1-1-1-2. Remember back in the day, Jimmy Calder would used to go 2-4-4 when Aberdeen were getting beat, which back in Calder's day was quite frequent.
Quite often.
His early career with Aberdeen, he used to go 2-4-4. So I'm going for the 1-1-1-2.
Well, I've gone similar, I guess. I've gone for Ivor Pirrie in goal, Stevie King, Graham Sharp, Rory McAllister, and I've gone Martin Babbage as well. I've gone all out attack.
Oh, you've gone one. You've been overrunning midfield.
So it's about right. We've got big Stevie King at the back. He'll be able to sort it out there. So let's quickly go through some of the suggestions, and we'll get the winning, well, I'm going to say winning team, but the team that has been picked with the most selections, I guess, would be the phrase.
I think 30 in goals was a fair common shout. I think I've seen a few folk.
So let's go. Let's start with Twitter first then. So Blue Toon fans, they were first in, going with Greg Fleming, Graham Sharp, Scott Brown, Andy McCarthy and Rory McAllister. Aki, he went with Ivar Piri, John Sivright, Natty Porter, Ali Christie and himself. Benching Rory McAllister and Sharpie. Andy Rogers, former Peterhead player. Unsurprisingly, he went for Graham Smith, Scott Ross, Stephen Noble, himself, and Rory McAllister, which, to be honest,
that's some team.
Which is, to be honest, is a fairly decent team. Good partnership up front. Sam McQuilkin went with Paul Jarvie, Graham Sharp, Bobby Lynn, Scott Brown, and Rory McAllister. Scott Finlay, Paul Mathers, Graham Sharp, Martin Bavage, Bobby Mann, and Jamie Stevenson. Jason A, he went with Graham Fleming, Willie Miller, Simon Ferris, Scott Brown and Rowan McAllister. Now, there were a couple of folk have mentioned Willie Miller. To be fair, Willie Miller obviously is a great player, great career, but was a forward when he was at Peterhead. He was on loan as a striker. So we'll kind of have to put him down as a forward rather than a defender, as he turned out to be.
There's a few good teams in there, isn't there? If you look back, there's a few names that some of them may even slip my mind that had played for a period, obviously I hadn't seen them, but there's definitely a good few teams in there.
Quickly go through some that came through on Facebook as well. Neil Thompson, he went with Mathers, Bobby Mann, Graham Sharp, Ian Stewart and Rory McAllister. And an attacking side there. Jock Morris, he went with Mathers, Simon Ferry, Scott Brown, Willie Miller again and Scott Ross. I have to find Scott Tate, because Scott Tate put his own team in as well. He went with players that he was training with or was watching. So he's gone with Mike McHattie, John Sivright, Charlie Duncan, Nat Porter and Ali Christie up front, and going with Colin Grant as a manager. Graham McLean went with Graham Smith, David Donald, Graham Sharp, Don Cowie, Rory McAllister. Unsurprisingly, Rory McAllister's name comes up quite a bit. With these teams.
Sharpies has come up with a bit as well.
He has. What else I'm going to pick? Martin Green, he wants five Banos. Unsurprising with that.
It is a surprise, man.
Marco Alexander, he went with Paul Mather, Stevie King, Dean Cowie, Dougie Baxter, and Rory McAllister. There is a few more. I'm not going to rattle them off. There was a few names being banded about. Surprised that maybe somebody like Martin Bavage wasn't mentioned more often.
Yeah, I think somebody mentioned there as well. Apologies for the name, Andy McCarthy. I think only mentioned once. So, you know, when you think of the players we've had, it would be difficult to pick a five aside. It certainly didn't just happen within 2 minutes trying to pick a team. Yeah, there's been a lot of good players that we've had over the years, and hopefully, over the next couple of years, we've got a few more players to speak about.
So, after all getting all that information, our official five-a-side team then is Paul Mathers in goal, Stevie King, Graham Sharp, Scott Brown, and Rory McAllister.
Not a bad side.
I have to say that I think the goalkeeping area was the one where there was a lot more selection,
maybe.
Ivar Piri was obviously high up, Scott Tate as well, he got mentioned a few times, Paul Jarvie, Greg Fleming, so, you know, a lot of decent keepers, and we seem to keep producing them.
We've had a lot of decent keepers over the years, that's for sure.
And we keep producing them as well, and we keep finding them, maybe we try and get somebody who can bide longer in a season, it might be good as well, rather than just a loan here and there.
Yeah, it would be handy, but we've certainly
done
a good few keepers already, that's for sure.
So I hope that's going over well. Maybe a new feature for us. We'll maybe try something else again next week. That was good. Thanks to everybody who contributed to that. As we said, it's one of those kind of things. You're never going to get a bang on. Everybody's got to be happy with it, but I think that selection there is fairly good.
But no, I'm quite happy. I've got 4 out of 5 that was nominated in your team, so I'm quite happy. I'll take that any day.
Right, so we'll move on then. We've got a home game coming up. First one for 3 weeks. We've been away from home back-to-back the last two games. Queen of the South. Remarkably, this is the first league meeting between the two sides. Normally, I guess you associate Queens with, you know, championship kind of level, League One level, while maybe we were in League Two. Only three meetings between the two sides since Peter had come up into the league, all the cup games. This will be the 47th different opponent Jim has faced in his time at Peterhead. So yeah, it's and previously all the other three games were at Peterhead as well. So it's a new opponent, but this is new circumstances, I guess, for Queens as well, because it's been a long time since they've been at this level, and it hasn't gone well so far for them.
No, been a bumpy road for them. I think, you know, I think any team coming down has always got to find that Turf Kingdom firm and started well. But Queen's United are the main way, and I'm hopeful that that'll continue on Saturday. Like I said, I think there's quite a few positives. Okay, it's a 3-1 defeat for us at Falkirk Stadium. I think there's more positives to come out for it than the negatives. If we're going with the right mindset, the right attitude, I certainly think if we get at them, I think Queen's will like coming up here. You know, it's a fair drive to come up. We get the typical period weather with a wee bit of wind. You never know if it could happen.
Was the expectations that after their relegation, it's maybe played against them slightly, that you would think that they'd be one of those sides, maybe five or six, that are going to be competing at the top end? I know it's only three games in, and we're talking about them struggling, but, you know, the start, they really needed a good start.
I think it's different. I'm difficult, you know, both them words are right, in terms of when a team comes down, you naturally expect them to go on. But no team's got that divine right. I think now no. League One is such a competitive league. You know, you've seen Falkirk being stuck in this division for a long time. You know, and then they're in the contentions for Gap. So I think, you know, the Firmland started well. I think Queens have had a rocky start. But then, you know, if they get the 3 points on Saturday, their league table looks a lot better. You know, as far as we get B on Saturday, that's, you know, 1.4, and you're starting to look at the slightly more pessimistic side. So even this early on, I think it's important for both teams to try and get maximum points.
They've got 2 points out of their opening three games. Lost heavily to Clyde opening game, 4-1 at home. 0-0 away from home at Montrose, which I guess is a decent point.
Yeah, bad result,
it's a decent point. And 1-1 last Saturday against Airdrie, which again isn't a bad result. Are we in danger of possibly facing another wounded animal in terms of, you know, what we did against Falkirk? Will there be a reaction? Are they at a point where they need to start winning games?
I think they need to start winning games. I also think we need to start winning games as well. I think, yeah, maybe a bit of a wounded animal, but I think the fact that we're the home team, I think it's completely different if we're good doing Palmerston and trying to get points doing there in the back of a wounded animal. I think the fact that they're coming up here, we're on the front foot, you know, it's one of them. You get an early goal or, you know, take the lead at any point in the game, it puts the pressure, you know, straight back on them. So I think if we go with the right attitude, kind of a good performance, especially early on in the game, I see no reason why we shouldn't be getting the 3 points.
I think you said it earlier on as well, but I think home form is obviously going to be key for us this season. Last season, away points were very difficult to come across. So any points that we pick up, particularly 3 points at home, are going to be a must. And I know we're only three games in, fourth game was on Saturday, but the league really hasn't sort of sorted itself out yet in terms of where you'd expect teams to be. I certainly wouldn't expect Montrose to be sitting in seventh. I wouldn't be expecting Queens to be sitting where they're at. Kelty, I think they'll probably maybe kick on, but on the flip side, I wouldn't be expecting FC Edinburgh to be sitting up in third. I think they're at Clyde sitting second. So, you know, it's early stages. I just don't think things have ironed themselves out slightly. So maybe this is an opportunity for us to maybe turn things around slightly and stamp our authority on this season. And as Jim had said, we need to, what did he say, we need to work our way or build our way into the season. I think maybe this is an opportunity for that to happen.
you can tell the league's lying when you've got Clyne sitting in second. that's a problem straight away. We need to build ourselves into it, you know, work our way up. Keep that in mind, it's a new squad as well. And things are maybe slowly starting to gel. But home form has got to be crucial. That's got to be the key thing. So, you know, you don't want to go too many games into the season without getting that first home win. You want to try and pick up as many points, obviously, naturally on the road as you can. You mentioned the league isn't quite settled down. I think there'll be a fair few teams, even at this early stage, just a little bit cautious. I certainly think if you get Queens on a bad day on Saturday, you know, it's a pressure currently on them. I think you don't want to look at the league table too much just now. I think maybe get another 3-4 weeks and then you start analysing which teams are sort of there or thereabouts and which teams are struggling. Is there only teams that are struggling that you didn't think would be? Like you said, Edinburgh's near the top and you've got Clyde on the flip side, Kelty. So things aren't quite settled down just yet, but I think over the next couple of weeks they will. But that's why it's important for us on Saturday, I think, to try and get maximum points.
O'Keefe will be suspended for his red card. Jason, we doubt whether or not he'll be back. Hopefully he is back. But would that be a straight change then if you bring in Jason for Conor O'Keefe and then go back to that back three, back five?
Yeah, I think so. If Jason's able to play, he's fit enough to play. Obviously, you've got to take other precautions, and rightly so, with a head knock. I think he's a slick one. To me, he's one of the first names on the team sheet. He's been for a number of seasons now. I think you get him in that back line, because I think his communication and leadership skills have been, you know, evident in the last 12 months. So he's a stick one for me. If he's fit enough to play, then he's in the starting 11.
I think with that midfield and the forward line, I think there's very few changes you'd probably make. I know, as I said, we've come off a 3-1 defeat, but these players are starting to know each other a bit more, and maybe making too many changes just now maybe isn't the right thing to do.
The only maybe the other potential change, putting Ewan Murray to left back, or the full back sort of area rather than in midfield, maybe the only tactical change. But yeah, as you said, they're maybe starting to get that starting to gel a wee bit now. So I wouldn't make too many changes. Like I said, okay, 3-1, the ideal, even Falkirk and saying could have been a lot worse, but I think there is positive to take for it. I wouldn't go making 3, 4, 5 changes.
But we're going into this game, I think, on a positive spin, a positive manner. I know, you know, maybe at the start of the season, facing Queens might have been a game that we might have dreaded, especially away from home. This one, obviously, being at home. But I think we're coming into this knowing that Queens are nay on firing on all cylinders as yet. But we are coming off of a semi-decent performance, I guess, but with a lot of positives to take into the next game.
Yeah, the positives are there. We are starting to see it now. As I've said a few times, there is maybe that team just starting to gel. And I certainly think if Jason's fit enough to play, and certainly he comes back and he helps along with that. Maybe Jim might have a surprise, maybe another in through the door this week, which would help out. You know, he keeps his cards close to his chest. So we'll wait and see, maybe another in through the door. But, you know, I certainly think there's more positives, and you know, I think if we can get a decent crowd at Balmoor as well, that would help us out.
Score prediction then, we ending this one on a positive note?
Yeah, I think a clean sheet as well. I'm going to stick my neck in line and say 1-0. I think we'll all get the win. I don't think, famous last word, just come back to bite the next week, but I don't think there's nothing in that Queen's team that really scares me. I think we've got players that can deal with it, whether that's Jason coming back or you've got Ryan Strachan. You know, our goalkeeper is a really good goalkeeper. He's faced quite a lot of shots, but he's saving the vast majority. I think we'll win it. I think we'll win 1-0. Hopefully we've got a happy camp on Saturday night.
I was going to say 1-0 as well, because I really want Jack to get a clean sheet, because he really deserves a clean sheet. He hasn't got one yet. And I really hoping that he gets one sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I think the defence deserve a clean sheet as well. Obviously, it's a team game. The work is a unit. I think if they got a clean sheet, I think we'd see a massive difference. Once we do get a clean sheet, I think the performance the following week will be, you know, really good, because the confidence will be high, and I think we're just that clean sheet away from it.
Okay, we'll end that there on a positive note. Hopefully, yes, we'll come back next week. We've got a win, we've got a clean sheet, and all will be right in the world. Thanks again, Martin. Always a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you very much. Thoroughly enjoyed it yet again.
So that is it. The whistle has gone on this week's episode. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks to Martin for joining me, and as ever, thank you to you guys for listening. We'll be back again next week, so until then, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Byers, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon.